Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gaura 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 Rakshamam. O Lord Gaura, please deliver me. I welcome all of you to this beautiful Gaura meditation. I'm saying good, beautiful because we are going through some very amazing aspects of Lord Chaitanya's Leela today. Before I start, I would like to alert all of you to the great blessing which is there. We can just hear about the Supreme. We are hearing so many things in this world, and we are occupying ourselves in our mind with so many subjects. But are these subjects the subjects which induce our heart? Are these subjects further able to induce our soul? And are these subjects able to remove the obstacles which we have on our path to our original nature, our original home? Spiritual subjects about Lord Chaitanya are able to induce the heart and deliver the soul from all its obstacles. In the Bhagavatam and the Bhakti tradition, we find an important triad, three processes which should be done every single day. Tasmat savatma savatmana rajan hari savatra sarvada Shrotavya kititavyascha smatavyo Bhagavan Narinam. The human being, everywhere, at each time, should do three essential practices: to hear about, to glorify, and to remember the Supreme Lord, always and everywhere. These three processes are very, very powerful. They can remove the obstacles on our path, and they can induce our souls. Especially talking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so absolutely important and spiritually powerful. Last two or three Gora meditations back, we started to accompany Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on a historic journey, his journey to the south of India. And the last Gora meditation described how he met Ramananda Rai. Both of them were compared with two miners. Miners usually go for essential, valuable things in the earth. So these two, Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai, in their discussions were like miners who went under the surface, deep, deep, deep into the ultimate subject matters, and they excavated, like the miners, excavated jewels and valuable metals. They excavated the confidential topics about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They brought them out for everyone to see. It was not possible for us to go through these philosophical discussions, but if you have time, I encourage you to read them in the 8th chapter of Madhya Lila. You will be surprised by the amazing depths which is attained there. It ultimately describes our eternal spiritual identity when we have fallen in love with the Lord. Today we will accompany the Lord a little bit further. We will visit some important holy places where the Lord went. Why do we accompany the Lord? Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in one bhajan, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu, that there are a few things which are favorable to bring out our original consciousness. And he says, one is, Se sabastane hiribo ami pranaya bhakata sangi. May I always visit all the holy places associated with the Leela of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. There were many places which Lord Chaitanya went. Krishnadas Kaviraj said, I can't chronologically record all of them. All what I can say, Lord Chaitanya visited all holy places left and right. And while he visited, he had a song on his lips. I think you remember. If you wish, you can sing along. Rama Raghava Rakshama. Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshama. Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Ahima Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Ahima. And like all places, people who heard this mournful, longing song of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They left everything they were doing and they moved towards him. They were first overwhelmed by his amazing beauty, which seemed to even attract deers. Yes, Kavi Kanapur describes the large eyed Krishnasara deers were coming in big flocks and surrounding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he went on when he did his pilgrimages. But that in itself was not surprising. What was most surprising for the people to see is the symptoms of divine ecstasy which went all over the body of the Lord. All over the body meant he was crying from his eyes. He was loudly explaining the names of the Lord from his mouth. And with his arms he had gestures which no one had seen before. And he did not just move step by step, he danced. So when they saw this divine personality displaying these ecstatic symptoms, they felt inspired to join him and loudly sing with him the holy names. Moving about in this way, the Lord came to one place which is near Simhachalam. It's a temple of an ancient deity from the Satya Yuga. Listen to the story. Hiranyakashipu, the universal demon, I call him, had finally tried to kill his son Prahlad by throwing him into an ocean and then throwing a big mountain on top of him. Prahlad was deeply absorbed at that time, we hear, in deep meditation. This is the trance of the yogis, the samadhi of the yogis, who cannot any longer be disturbed by outside influences. But the Lord could not tolerate this, and he came in a form which he rarely had exhibited before, in the form of Varaha Nrisimha. He had the mouth of Varaha, but the claws and the tails of Nrisimhadev. And he went deep into the ocean and saved Prahlad. After Lord Nrisimhadev had liberated Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad remembered that form. And he went to this place, Yada Nrisimha, and he saw the deity. But the deity was so angry still because his devotee had... He saw the Lord there. He visited him. He was still very angry. Later, a deity manifested. The Lord manifested this deity. It's a self-manifested deity. It came out of the heart of the Lord. And he is known as extremely angry. Therefore, the pujaris have to cover him with the... piles of sandalwood, and if a pujari does not do so, his family will have problems and will inform him, "Prick, have you brought the sandalwood to the Lord?" Up to this time, only once in a year, this dangerous deity or this angry deity is brought out and viewed. At that time he is pacified, I hear. But the rest of the year he has to be covered. When we deal with the subject of God, there are always these two sides. One is the supremely attractive face of the Lord. But the Lord has also a face which makes us tremble and shudder. Devotees, they very much like to see the sweet face, the pacified face of the Lord. But yes, there are other faces. I remember Hermann Hesse, that great German poet, speaking about this face of the Lord when he wrote his poem about the World War, which was raging. While the Lord moved on, he came to another place, which is called Pakshitirtha. Let me tell you about the glories of this place. It is described in the traditions of the temple that since 5,000 years, two eagles come to the top of the temple and take the Mahaprasad of Lord Shiva from the hand of the pujari. Every day since antiquity, the pujari climbs with the plate of Mahaprasad of Lord Shiva. It's a Shiva temple. Shiva and Parvati are worshipped there. He climbs on top of the temple and he will offer these two eagles, which come punctually. I heard you can put your watch in order if it has the wrong time. They are so punctual. And then he feeds them. These are two great devotees of Lord Shiva who for an entire yuga come and do their pilgrimage to this particular Shiva temple. They are rishis who live in other dimensions, and they take this form because they are attached to this Lord Shiva. There's an interesting pillar, a stone pillar, which the archaeological survey department of India has looked at, and they dated this pillar as coming from the 7th century AD. Their tracking methods don't go further back. And you see on this pillar these two eagles already. So at least, even for the skeptical amongst my audience, at least since 700 after Christ, this two eagles are coming and they're eating the Mahaprasad. And then they go to a place of the rocks and they clean their beaks and their talons there. This rock has also signs of the eagles. Pakshitirtha, many thousands or hundred thousands of pilgrims have come and watched this phenomena. It has stopped in the year 1998. According to a local brahmana, the time which these rishis set for their pilgrimage has elapsed there. So it's in good time. But I would have liked to see these eagles myself. They used to be really huge eagles, and I've seen pictures. I have them actually in front of me, but only in black and white. I don't think you will see them here. They're here. And here's the pillar. I don't know if you can see it. I'm telling you this amazing pastime of the eagles going on pilgrimage because It's very important if we deal with transcendental subject matters that we agree that there is something beyond the laws of nature which works there. When we hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasies, when we hear about the miracles he performed, it's important that we know that he is a divine persona. And when you come to India, there are many, many, let us say, phenomena where you feel that some other reality is entering into our small little world, which we perceive with a very limited apparatus of senses, and starts working there. I hear this temple is really the miracle temple. Every 12 years, an amazing conch shell manifests in the temple pond. And the pujari is informed in his dream where in this pond this conch shell is, and then he goes and dives and brings forth this this conch shell, which has a right turning, unusual turning. Yes, without understanding or accepting achintya, the inconceivable energy of the Lord, one will never enter his pastimes. One will always come to the gate where there seems to be a little sign. Skeptics are not allowed to proceed further. And one will not be able to pass beyond this gate. I wish to now come to the main subject of today's Gaura meditation, where we will also meditate a little bit about Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya had made a special arrangement even before his appearance. And by this arrangement, he made it that certain very empowered devotees would take their appearance in various parts of the world. And they were staying there until he would meet them, either by coming there, traveling there, or meet them in visions, and then activate them. These devotees, they're amazing personalities, which a very, very strong spiritual background, and they took place, took birth, or appeared in places which Lord Chaitanya had designed for them. And we will meet one of these devotees in this katha. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Pakshi Theatre, where he had danced and chanted and done his usual program of visiting the deity, he went to many, many other holy places and finally arrived at the river Kaveri. He crossed the river and went into the beautiful temple called Ranga Chetra, where a very ancient deity who comes already from the time of Lord Rama is still worshipped up to this present time. So as he was visiting the deity and becoming visibly overwhelmed with bhavas, there was one priest who looked at him, and he looked in a very, very curious way. He must have had heard about him, but he was a very, very learned scholar. He knew all the scriptures. He had two equally qualified brothers. Trimala was the oldest, and his younger brother was Prabuddha or Prabuddhananda. And when he saw this divine avatar singing and dancing, all his what he knew, he put it aside, and he rushed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came out of his trance and said, "Please, please, will you visit me in my home?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to come. When he was at the house of Venkatabhatta, that's the name, Venkatabhatta, Venkata received him so lovingly and then washed his feet. After he washed his feet, he took, as it is customary, the water from the basin and threw it on everyone who was there. There was one boy, he was 11 years old only, his son, who received the sprinkling of the water and began to show symptoms of ecstasy. The little boy was standing there trying to hold himself and control himself. But to the amazement of everyone present, he displayed these beautiful eruptions of divine ecstasy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at him and smiled. There was something already going on. So Venkatabhatta, after the Lord had eaten, went to him and very humbly said, "My Lord, the rainy season is approaching. Chaturmasya is coming. You are a sannyasi. All sannyasis observe during this time a special time of vows. You and also the monsoon will be there. You won't be able to travel. I beg you, stay at my house." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happily agreed. It is said he spent a very, very happy 4 months in the exalted association of Venkatabhatta, Trimala, and Prabodhananda Saraswati. He was very, very happy there. It is said, one day he said, "I'm missing Jagannath." But Venkatabhatta said, "You are the Lord. You please manifest Jagannath." And then Lord Chaitanya took some wood and from his own hands made 3 forms: Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. These 3 forms you can see still in the town of Ranga Chetra or Rangapuri, and they were worshipped each day by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, during this time, the little son, the little boy Gopal, of whom we had heard when the Charanamrita was thrown, began to come very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He loved the Lord so much, and his father told him, "You are very talented. Gopal, you may serve this sannyasi. Bring him his food, wash his clothes, and always try to please him by reciting verses from the Bhagavatam. See, Gopal was knowing the scriptures. He was a child prodigy, you know, a genius. Mm-hmm. So as the relationship went on, Gopal one day cried. He was not very happy to see the Lord as an ascetic. And when he went to bed, he said, I want to see the Lord not as an ascetic who has a very difficult life full of austerities. I want to see him in another form where he will receive much more service than I can render to an ascetic, than he will allow. I want to give him more comfort, and so on. The next day came, and he was very moved by this one thought. He didn't speak about it, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw his desire. So when the night came, Gopal lamented, why was I born in South India, so far away from Navadvip, where the Lord had his pastimes as a grihastha? Why was I not born in East India? Why did I not see my Lord's Sankirtan pastimes with his devotees in Navadvip? He did not speak about what he thought, but he lamented his bad fortune. There are many great devotees who lament like this. I know Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a song, or written something, not a song, a writing, where he thought, why was I not born during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time? I would have carried his water pot. I would have stayed near Haridas and learned from Haridas to chant an ecstatic love of God. And I could have served Rupa and Sanatan, but alas, I was born later in the 18th century. So Gopal was also lamenting like this. Then, the next night, something happened to him. He was sleeping, and all of a sudden he saw the Navadvip Leela of the Lord. He saw the Lord, not shaved, but with long hair. There was a garland of fragrant white malati flowers around him. He had an ornamented dhoti with three beautiful folds in front, and he was surrounded by Advaita Acharya and Nityananda, and together they wandered through the town of Navadvip singing the holy name, and Gopal was going along with them. All of a sudden, Lord Nityananda bends down to the little boy and takes him on his lap, and Advaita Acharya sits there. It's also there, and they look at Gopal, and Nityananda bends over to him and is just about to say something very confidential to Gopal when Gopal awakes. The vision is gone. The vision he wanted to see is gone, and he is so disturbed. He's a little boy that he thinks there's now only one shelter for me. He runs through the house. It is still very, very early, and he knocks at the door of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and he hears the Lord chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Lord is, Lord Chaitanya did not sleep very long. And he comes into the room and sees Gauranga Mahaprabhu before his very eyes. But all of a sudden, the golden complexion of Gauranga becomes black. And he sees on the same spot Syam Sundar Krishna with a peacock feather in his hair and a flute. And he's a little boy. It can't get stronger. He falls down before the feet of the Lord. And then he has a vision. He looks at the Lord, who has now become Krishna. And he sees something. And because this is Gaura meditation, I would like you to see this also in your mind's eye. We will I will say just something to my musical orchestra here. Same melody. Live orchestra. As Gopal looks at Lord Gaurachandra, he sees a vision that remained engraved in his heart for the rest of the time he stayed. I request you all to sit straight now. Take a few deep breaths. Deep inhales. Deep exhales. Focus on your breathing. Center yourself. Move away from the many thoughts. Just the breathing. The glow of Lord Gaurasundara, soft yet powerful, is moving out, it enchants the entire universe. How beautiful is his hair that comes down to his shoulders. And look at his face. There's a Vaishnav Tilak there. Eyebrows are dramatically raised. Why are they raised so much? He smiles now, a and a shower of nectar comes from his smile. He has a beautiful, ornamented dhoti folded three times in front of him. Garlands of fine white malati flowers. He raises his arms. How beautiful to see.
Thank you.
His desire had been recognized and fulfilled in a way he could not have imagined. But there was something going on a yet deeper level than the fulfillment of a desire. He recognized his eternal Lord. Gopal, but was not a soul like all of us. He was an eternal resident of the spiritual world, where he was known by the name Gunamanjari, a maidservant of Srimati Radhika. And together with Srimati Radhika, he had assisted her in her pastimes with Lord Syamasundar. So when this personality, although he was in a body of an 11-year-old boy, saw Syamasundar Krishna, who had now appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstasy did not know any limits. I have once seen a little boy in the village of Radhakund who remembered his past life. This was what the people said. And I had heard how this boy, when he met his parents from his last life, was so overjoyed and overwhelmed. He could not identify with his parents in this life because his memory was not there. He had not arrived in this life. His memory was still, and his thinking was still in his past life. So this Gunamanjari, an eternal servant of Srimati Radhika, seeing now the Lord of Vrindavan before his her eyes, was overwhelmed with ecstasy. The Lord took him on his lap and instructed him, "Go to Vrindavan soon. You must meet Rupa and Sanatan." These are also two great, Rupa Manjari and Lavanga Manjari. They had come as Rupa and Sanatan. "And you will have many disciples all over the world. But I request you, do not ever tell anyone while I'm on this planet what you have seen. Keep this instruction in your heart. So Gopal had to remain silent with the greatest treasure which he had in his heart. He couldn't talk to his parents about it. He served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was always seen with him. They were inseparable, the two. And then when Gauranga Mahaprabhu left after 4 months, Gopal stayed with his parents and kept on serving his parents. Once a Brahmana came and visited Venkatapat and said, "You must be very happy to have such a son. He is so learned and he is full of submission to his parents." And Gopal and Venkatapata was already little elderly. He said, "Yes, but this is not his glories. His true glories is that he will be the greatest devotee." So he received an further education by his uncle Prabodhananda Saraswati, who was thinking day and night of nothing else than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He learned all the Shastras and he became an expert poet. But do you know, Vedic knowledge does not mean you just learn some scriptural knowledge which is here in the brain. No, he became an expert in singing and playing musical instruments and in dancing. In this way, he could defeat all material views by showing how absolutely rich spiritual culture is and how wonderful. After some years, a dramatic event took place. Venkatabhadra said one day, "I see there's something in your mind which you have not told your parents." "Yes," said Gopal, "I need to go to Vrindavan." Venkatabhadra and his wife immediately agreed, "Yes, go to Vrindavan, go to Vrindavan. It must be that the Lord has ordered you." And Venkatabhadra and Gopabhadra left for Vrindavan. The next day, his two parents chanted, "Gaura, Gaura, Gaura," and then left this world and were never ever seen again in this world. Dear devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopal Bhatta helped Sanatana Goswami to compile his Paribhakti Vilas. And in the beginning, you see a verse which says, "Gopal Bhatta, the disciple of Srila Prabodhananda and a favorite devotee of Lord, or a favored devotee of Lord Sri Gaurasundara, is compiling this book, Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas, having satisfied Sri Raghunath Das, Rupa and Sanatan." He was the compiler of this wonderful book. My dear devotees, our time is quickly coming to the end. But I feel personally very, very enlivened and moved. I have written in one of the books which have been published, it's not in English there, that I, a day without a miracle for me is not a normal day. I am constructed like this. I have strong beliefs in the spiritual reality. And just hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he meets his devotees, how he awakens his devotees by giving them darshan, how he is so loving with them, satisfies my heart with great faith. The faith that yes, the Lord is merciful, and his merciful nature does not exclude even the lowest of his devotees. These were very exalted devotees, but we can see in the pastimes that he even has accepted criminals and others into his fold. I want to end this with a few quick announcements. Every Sunday there is an audio podcast. It's called Above the Clouds. We will study a verse from the Bhagavatam with a particular intention and perspective. That is, how can we receive powerful spiritual instructions from the Bhagavatam that we can implement into our daily life? That is, on Facebook you can see that or hear that every Sunday it starts, and it stays there for the week so that you can heal it again if you wish. And then every Tuesday we have a new program. It's called Compassion Tuesday. It's something where we enter a meditation of Daya, compassion, so that we can help this people in our who are near to us, but people who are also far from us, with our prayers and with our, let us say, compassionate meditation. It's a wonderful thing. We have tried now too, but it will start really in all earnestness next Tuesday. We have a short kirtan and then the meditation, and we will hear something about this amazing quality and how to draw that into our heart. Then, last announcement, Sunday the 28th of February at 3 p.m. Comes the Heart of the Holy Name. It's an experience-oriented lecture where we speak first about the Tattva of the Holy Name, but then we chant a lot and we learn from the scriptures a few hints how we can improve our japa and kirtan. Let me end now here, and let me thank you all very much for participating. It's a genuine joy. Hare Krishna.